I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
What's trending?
Yeah, dang!
Brought to you by Telly Tire and Auto Centers. Winning starts with our great drive. Since 1942, Telly's certified techs have delivered complete car care with top brand tires and expert auto service. Keep your drive going. Take it to Telly. Visit TellyTire.com today.
Number one on what's trending, NFL wildcard action begins tomorrow. 3:30 kickoff, Rams, Panthers. The evening game tomorrow night, Packers, Bears. Packers 1.5-point favorites in that game. Then Sunday we get three AFC and NFC games. Two AFC games, I should say. Buffalo, Jacksonville, noon kickoff. Then the Niners and the Eagles at 3:30. And then the Sunday night football game, Justin Herbert and the Chargers go to New England to take on Drake May. And then, of course, Monday Night Football will be Texans at Steelers. That's the NFL action this weekend, man. It's a good stretch, man. Starting last night, college football playoffs, all the way through Monday.
Next up on Watch Trending, local college hoops this weekend. Kansas will go to West Virginia for their third game in Big 12 play. Kansas State will take on Arizona State. And MU will be at Ole Miss. So three road games for all the locals, obviously. MU and KU coming off come-from-behind victories. On both of their ends, Kansas State coming off a beatdown by Arizona.
I mentioned college football playoff semifinal action. We know last night Miami got it done. A great game against Ole Miss.
Especially the last 7 minutes.
Yeah, 7 minutes or whatever it was, the back and forth. Tonight, we'll find out who's going to take on Miami as number 5 Oregon takes on number 1 Indiana, the Hoosiers. 3.5-point favorites in this game. Looking forward to that. 6:30 kickoff, although as we found out last night, it's going to be like 6:48 when that thing kicks off.
We almost hit the nail on the head at the 6:45.
It went
right
over.
There. Yeah, it did.
We should have had our guy Ben Heisler in. He's an Indiana
grad. He's down
there.
He's in Atlanta. He went. My understanding is he's
awesome.
Atlanta.
He's come in for a fan club before. We'll have Taylor Burr today. But still, you know, an Indiana fan on for that is always an interesting perspective. Next up on What's Trending, MLB teams cancel FanDuel Sports Network contracts, including the Royals, amidst all of their bankruptcy stuff and continued issues. Major League Baseball has said that they're willing to and are ready to take in any of the teams who did not get picked up. But starting today, there'll be new negotiated contracts, possibly with those networks. So we'll see exactly what takes place. Obviously, the parent company, but you know it as FanDuel Sports Network. Truth is, you do not yet know what television network will air the Royals yet this season. It might be MLB TV, or it might end up being back with FanDuel Sports Network. You do know where you can hear Royals baseball. That's right here at 96.5 The Fan. No matter what, free, easy, available.
Last thing for you, it has now been confirmed by Amazon that Al Michaels will return next year to call Thursday Night Football. It'll be his age 82 season. Him and Kirk Herbstreit will do it again. Legendary
age 82 season.
That's just what, man. I'm just reading it directly what it said. Yeah, yeah.
I believe that's correct. A serious ageist this week.
You have a lot of times. Now, Al Michaels is a legend, so be careful. He's a legend. I do think he's lost his fastball. Absolutely. I think it's inarguable.
And his curve and his slider and his changeup.
Okay.
Dang.
Dust.
I do think the energy level does not match the moment anymore.
There was a couple. There's been multiple times this year in high level, high pressure football games. He seemed disinterested. And this is like, this just goes to anything. No, we sometimes with sports broadcast, and this is always just tough, but we treat it like it's different than another job. Like a radiologist at 82 be like, well, I catch most of the broken bones. You're like, well, sorry, you got to catch them all, or you don't get to keep doing this job at 82.
We'd have a big problem. If I was going to see a radiologist for my broken bones, we'd have a big problem.
Yeah,
we'd have a big problem.
So we got to, at some point, figure out, like, maybe not just letting everybody choose their own. And we don't let athletes sometimes just get pushed out of the game. It is what it is. We're letting Al Michaels do this. I don't know that he has it anymore. And he is a legend. And he's caught some of the biggest moments in sports
all-timer,
history.
All-timer.
But yeah, this last year just didn't feel like the same Al Michaels. That's all.
I think there's times where just he doesn't see the play as well as he used to. You know, there'll be a play and it'll be like, and the ball has already been fumbled and the guy's starting to go the other way. And he's like, What? Is that a fumble? It is a fumble. Like, it's just it's just too delayed, and it sucks to see that that's happened. But he's back anyway. He's back for Thursday Night Football next year on Amazon.
That's why I was.
Is Kirk back too? I assume.
I would think. Yeah, man, his dog.
One dog neglects the others. I'd like that on the record. Jeez. He has four dogs. He travels with one.
What, do you want him to rotate the dogs?
No, he travels all the time. He travels with one dog. His other three dogs are neglected, or just like the housekeeper.
What is it, Peter? Is it Peter? Or is Peter?
You know the dog's
real,
name.
The real question is, why do you hate your other dogs more than you?
Maybe this is the
like
dog that's more comfortable going out.
I think that's the
reasoning. This dog's calmer. Why? Maybe. Maybe this dog's behaved better than his other dogs. Maybe his kids. Kirk has kids, doesn't he? They're older though. Maybe, but maybe his kids are more attached to the other dogs. I don't know. I have no idea the reason. I get it. Look, I think he does it for him. It's not about having the dog with him. For him, the dog is reminds him of home. It's comfortable. Now, do I think he needs to be at Arrowhead on the field before the game, or in Denver scaring Bo Nix with the dog that clearly doesn't like dogs? No.
Can I say this about, like, hey, he reminds him of home. He's gone a lot. He has a really simple solution to that. Just go home more. Take less jobs. He has a gajillion dollars.
He's supporting his family.
Support his family with one job in college football.
Hey, I'm never going to.
He's worth $10 trillion. He wants to spend more time with his family. He could do that.
Maximize your earnings while you can. I have no. And if he thinks he can have his obligations.
Man is worth reportedly $90 million. But if he's like, I'm homesick and I miss being home and I don't even spend enough time, just spend more time at home and have one less job.
And he will, eventually.
80 jobs. No, he won't. Al Michaels is 82.
No, that's my out. I'm talking about Kirk.
When's he going to have less jobs?
I don't know. He's at the top of his game. I have no problem with how much he's working. Good for him.
There is a little bit of his play-by-play is.
I think he should work less.
I think he, yeah, I mean.
I think he should quit the Amazon job. Keep all the other jobs.
Kirk is 56.
Keep the other ones. Just quit that one. Let's talk about the Royals.
For sure. How many other old people do you want to criticize today?
That's it for me.
Anybody else? Be careful. If you're over the age of 50 today, Cody is going after you.
Between that and the Battle Hawks thing, it's been a half hour of takes.
First full week back, maybe I just need the weekend, you know? Maybe tensions are rising.
Coming up, Cody needs a drink. And coming up,
you do have to keep on seeing me in this outfit whenever you turn right.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah. Coming up in an hour.
One hour. It is a Fan Club Friday presented by Jay Rieger. We will have a drink or two. We'll have Taylor Burr from Fox 4 Sports stopping by. We'll talk some Chiefs. We'll talk a little college football. Get to know her as well. That'll be a lot of fun coming up at 1 o'clock. But you mentioned the Royals, and these are offshore, so we'll find out from FanDuel's, et cetera, of the world closer. And we haven't got the spring training yet. But what did you make of the win totals are already out for the AL Central? 81.5 is where the Royals sit, at least. And I'm guessing that'll be about close. Where FanDuel has theirs, et cetera, when we get there.
The offshore is usually within one or two on these things, the win totals, and have been pretty close to that for the Royals. So maybe they get up to 83.5 or down to 79.5 or so is probably the range. But they've got them as the offshores at 81.5. And some of the offshores have the Royals as the second best favorite to win the AL Central. And my initial thought is, yeah, that sounds about right. In a weak AL Central, the Royals still have the best overall rotation. They do not have the best number one pitcher. Obviously, that belongs to the Tigers and Tarik Skubal. But they do still have the best overall rotation, returning a very good bullpen who I think might have gotten better just based on some of the health and depth that will enter the bullpen because it won't be in the starting rotation. I am inclined to think that the Royals should be the second favorite to win the division because I think they're the second best team behind only the Tigers, and 81.5 is just the conservative end. I think they're going to win closer to like 86 in the early feeling of it. We'll give our official predictions later. I think they're maybe a little low on that end, but the problem is, in my head, I'm also assuming they got something else planned for corner outfield. And if you're talking about an offshore number being attached to a team that still has a, on paper, not exactly deep outfield. I think that number's probably about square.
I think spring training, usually you can say, hey, you know, how much stock do you put in spring training numbers? And this year will be even more challenging because the World Baseball Classic is going on. So all these teams, most I should say, will have some of their top players representing their respective countries and away from Arizona and away from Florida, because they're in the WBC, and the Royals are included in that. They will be missing multiple players, but so will the competition. So when I look at numbers for certain players, pitcher or hitter, you know, how much stock do you put in that? I guess what I'm getting at is, if Jack Caglione were to have an amazing spring, and he also is in the WBC, if I'm not mistaken.
He is. He's playing for Team Italy.
Yeah.
Vinny.
So this will be tough to judge him, because I was going to say, you know, if he had a great spring, you might feel even better about taking the over 81.5, because I still believe so much of their peak this year, where, you know, if we're talking about them being an AL Central contender, which that should be, once again, the expectation.
Yeah, I think
but
so.
But for them to get there, and they did not get there, as we know, last year, Jack Caglione is a huge part of that equation, and it makes things in life so much easier if he can figure it out and his swing can be what they hope it can be, and that there's not massive holes in his swing and to the point where teams are not able to pitch him a certain way to where it's a huge struggle for him to have an impact the way you want him to have an impact.
Yeah, and I'm not saying he's not a huge swing player. He is. But a lot of their other – so, like, unlike last year, I actually feel like the Royals have less unknowns. So, like, if you look at the Royals' current roster, Jack Caglione and Carter Jensen are probably two of the unknowns. And maybe later next week or whatever, we're going to have a longer conversation on Jack, too. But, like, as it sits, I think you know what you're getting out of the rotation. Like, especially considering the depth. Although I do think that trade talks should and might heat up for players like Chris Bubich. I mean, did you guys just see what the Cubs gave up for a mid-level starter? So, like, there's a market.
Yeah, their top outfield prospect.
Yeah, there's a market if you are willing to let go of some pitching this offseason and willing to take a chance. But injury, but that's anyone's concern, right? Especially with a guy like Cole Reagans, might be part of a question. But I'm not going into this year being like, what are they getting out of some of these bullpen guys? What are they getting out of some of these starters? Now, I got a pretty firm idea of what they're getting out of Michael, Bobby, Vinny. Michael might be, can he repeat it one more time? But, like, just to be sure. But it just the way he played feels very repeatable. The amount of question marks on this team going into the year, to me, feel way shorter. The only question I have remaining is, are you adding another outfielder? Are you putting somebody else in the mix? Are you just going to roll out Lane Thomas and Cags and Isbell and Hope?
And Collins, right?
And Collins and Hope.
I think,
like, because that doesn't feel like a... That doesn't feel like an AL Central winning outfield.
I think they made some smart moves this offseason, some smart trades to incrementally get better in the outfield. But was it enough? What was it a big enough push for that? And they still have time if they want to do something. It's not like this thing is done, but are they done? There's opportunity out there still. Are they willing to go that direction? I'm kind of with you. It'll still be a question mark in the outfield if this is all they do. There's a chance it's better. I think they have made moves that should lead them down a better path. Offensively in particular out of the outfield with the production they were not getting, but the bigger splash that hasn't happened. I don't know if it will. We'll have to see over the next month if that's the case. Thinking of Royals, if you want your Royals fix, don't forget Royals Rally coming up at the end of the month. Vern's going to be broadcasting live from the Royals Rally Saturday, January 31st, 9 to noon. He'll be talking to some members of the front office, some players that are in town for that. And of course, if you miss any of it, it's available on demand and on the All Things Vern channel.
If anybody was tracking you yesterday, by the way, it was ARB Day. So the players who avoid the little arbitration meeting. Currently, the Royals still only have two players who are in active arbitration. Before the ARB meetings take place, they still can get a long-term deal done or get an arbitration number that they both agree on. This happens all the time that they aren't done on the actual day that they can start.
Yeah, the hearing is scheduled now, though, basically, is what has happened.
Vinny Pasquantino and the Royals are about $500,000 apart. Chris Bubich and the Royals about $1 million apart, in case you're curious. In the filing
seems,
numbers.
Seems very
team.
Fixable.
Yeah, all right. Do you want $250 for Vinny? And hey, Bubich, do you want, you know, $400,000 to $500,000 when he's called us a day? The numbers are low enough that I would think that that's within a range. It's when people file, like, Scoobles and theirs apparently was
$13 million difference. That's
a problem.
Yeah.
$13 million, good luck closing that. That's why I still think he might get traded. I think he might get traded and immediately sign an extension or something with the Yankees or with the Dodgers.
That's the one of these others. I think a lot of people are believing that's what's going to happen with Scooble.
So,
which would be great for the AL Central if he gets out of the division. I mean, he's a hell of a player.
Yeah.
If he leaves the division, that makes you feel better about the path.
I don't know if I'd call the Royals the favorite, but I'd be...
Now, what do they get in return?
Yeah, if they get major league players in return, then we're having a slightly different... Mm-hmm. But if it's just prospects, I mean, you'd have to start almost shifting to, maybe not the favorite, but the co-favorite?
But the best or second best pitcher in baseball leaving your division.
Please.
would be a good thing. Would definitely be a good thing.
Yeah, for everybody involved. College football playoff game last night. Obviously, the Ole Miss-Miami game was awesome. Carson Beck, who is that my favorite fact of that entire game was that Tony was 11 years old when Beck started college, which is maybe just a problem college has with injuries and how long they let people stay in the system and everything else, because Chambliss has been in the, he's like, didn't he just
D2 for, he's applying for a sixth year. Yeah.
So he's asking for a 6 year. Beck's been around for like 7 years or something. So sometimes these guys hover around. He looked like the guy who's played way more college football than anyone else on the field, but it was just an awesome game tonight. Indiana versus Oregon. I told you, I think Indiana's the better team, but like a lot of times with these, it's like Cinderella. Like there's that feeling of no football reason. The feeling of it turns midnight usually on Cinderella's, right? George Mason doesn't go and win the title. It's so rare. And
I don't think
there's Indiana, you know?
Sure, but I actually don't. That was last year. Cinderella was last year. They're not like, yes, the name is not Alabama. Totally get it. And it's stunning to see them with a number one next to their name. Totally with you. But I disagree. I don't think they're Cinderella. They've been one. Look at their resume all year. They've been number one. Last year, they were in the CFP. I think they were more of a Cinderella last year. This year, I don't agree that they're Cinderella.
You're saying
they're a great story, but I don't think there's any like thing fluky or anything about what they've done.
No, I don't disagree. And I guess I don't always think of Cinderella being that way, because sometimes those are very talented teams. And the reason they go deep is because they are so talented. Maybe you're right. Maybe because they're a year removed from the look how good we were. We got in the college football playoff. We're the plucky underdog. They're the number one seed.
I felt like Ole Miss maybe was the more of the
Cinderella part?
Cinderella, yeah. Then.
Does anyone think Oregon's winning tonight? I think Indiana.
I think Indiana wins.
I think we're going to get Indiana in Miami. Yeah,
do you think the winner of this gets the number one overall pick?
Oh. I don't think it has any bearing.
Do you think that's on the line at all?
I don't think that has any bearing.
I'm just asking.
Maybe, yeah. I don't know if it has any determination, but I will say, I think if Dante Moore if at least creates the favorite, pre-combine, like if Dante Moore goes out and he outplays Fernando Mendoza and they beat that Indiana defense that's top five in the country,
right? Yeah.
I think Dante Moore, you know, potentially becomes the favorite to get drafted number one overall. Sure,
there's a million things obviously that go into these things, and I don't think they let one single football game make a determination on that.
Yeah, of course.
Part of me just thinks Oregon is gonna, like, some of this gold is like, it's a little bit of the, like, it's Indiana still. It's kind of like the Jags thing you're talking about in the Bills game. Like, it is still Indiana. I know I'm trying to put that to the side for now because it's been back-to-back years of them being this good. But also, there is part of me that thinks at some point in football, in my lifetime, Oregon's going to punch through once.
Sure.
Right? Like, Oregon is just in this thing every year with a chance to win it. Every year. And I know it's not ever, but it's like, they're the same as Georgia and Alabama and these others. Every year they have a chance to win a national championship. It just feels like one of these times they're going to punch through. I'm picking Indiana tonight.
I don't know if I really care who wins necessarily.
You don't want Indiana? I feel like it's good for college football if a team like Indiana wins. Go from to the me, worst they, team
that,
in college.
That part of the story, so it's an unbelievable story. And it already is, though, I guess is where I'm at. Like, I guess, yes, complete the story, go win a national title. But, like, to me, they've already, like, the, oh my gosh, what a story. Can you believe what Kurt Cignetti has done? I think we're already, like, that's already been accomplished. I don't really care, like, who wins at this point in time. I think Oregon, you know, when you look still at the talent on the roster, I think Oregon's a more talented football team. Doesn't mean they're the better team. The talent, to me, is far more on their side heading into this game.
I mean, but that just goes back to probably, like, the fact that they don't have any five stars in Indiana.
Their roster is the 72nd best
roster.
That's
what I'm saying. It's not the Oregon roster is better.
Yeah, which I think, again, that goes all the way back to the whole argument of what Kurt Cignetti's doing is just absolutely insane. I do think there is because last year, I agree with Gold's standpoint from the fact that, like, Indiana, I think, was more of the Cinderella last year, but I think Indiana becoming that team was when they beat Oregon actually during the regular season this year was, look, they didn't beat Ohio State last year, lost to Notre Dame in the first round of the playoff.
Yep.
They played Oregon this year, and it was, well, if they can beat Oregon, then we'll believe Indiana's legit. They beat them by 10 points on the road in a tough environment, and I think that was the starting point of this team is actually as good as we might think they actually are. Like, this is not just their number by their name is 5, and they've won every game, but they've played soft opponents. Like, they played some soft opponents, but they beat Oregon in their house and then beat Ohio State. I think, yeah, this is definitely, This is the best team in the country. If you look at defensively as well, everybody talks about the offense. They're one of the best defensive teams in the country, too. A lot like Miami, their built offensive line and defensive line are very strong.
To tie it all together today, as Drew's paying off his Hooters bet, did you know that Oregon does not have any Hooters restaurants, but Indiana does, Drew, as you're wearing the Hooters outfit today?
Wow, so Indiana for the win.
There definitely were Hooters in Indiana.
Yeah, but none in Oregon, man.
Drew, is there any part of you, even though you grew up a Badger fan, rooting for Indiana because you're from Indiana?
Yes, that is. It's weird. I used to...
Some state pride, you know?
I used to joke
Alex
about...
Alex wouldn't catch dead cheering for Missouri.
I
don't live in Missouri, but yeah.
I didn't want to go to Indiana because all my friends went there from high school, and I would go to Bloomington all the time to hang out with my friends, but I didn't want to go there. Yeah. So I also the fan base, no offense to Gold, but IU's fan base reminds me a lot of KU's basketball fan base. Very, very much similar, I think.
Was IU basketball ever good enough to have that kind of braggadocious attitude?
No, not as good to have it, but there was a lot of people, because KU's different now, I think, obviously, but Indiana, there's a lot of old heads who are still reliving those Bobby Knight days
KU won the national title 3 years ago. Let's not act like they're on the Indiana run of being irrelevant.
Growing up, it was and then KU won with Mario Chalmers and all those other things. So KU is changed, but in terms of the arrogance of the fan base, similar, but Indiana also doesn't have the natties to back it up. I used to dislike Indiana a little bit, but yes, I want Indiana to win the whole thing because it'd be awesome for the state of Indiana.
One thing I have noticed though, anytime, and it's fine, like I know people agree with you about the arrogant take on the fan base, whatever. I will notice that you notice the only fan bases that are ever called arrogant are the ones that have won something.
Agreed. I think that's
one actually won something.
I don't know, man.
I think Nebraska fans get described the way. What the hell have they won?
No, they're in denial and clueless. But that's different.
But that's arrogance. You're describing arrogance. You're saying or hubris at the very least.
You're almost
describing something.
You're almost comparing Nebraska football with IU basketball.
Nebraska basketball this year, baby. How about Nebraska basketball? They're legit.
That's Nebraska ball. They've decided to just adopt.
They might finally win an NCAA tournament game this year.
I'm sorry, what?
Yeah, they've never won. Only Power Four.
They've
school.
Never won a single NCAA tournament
never.
Game.
It's going to finally
good
happen
for
this
Fred
year.
Hoiberg.
It's going to finally happen.
You better stop saying that because we know there's craziness that happens in March Madness. Nebraska will be a 5 seed and they'll lose to a 12?
Right now they're pacing for above a 5, right? I mean, if they're undefeated.
Yeah, they're going to, I mean, we'll see if it continues, but they're going to possibly be in a top 3 seed.
Ever since UMBC and Fairleigh Dickinson happened, I will never say that a team is going to win an NCAA tournament game. I will never do that.
Someone says, curious how Drew became a Bengals fan if he's from Indiana. Drew's fandom is confusing.
He's explained it a bunch, yeah.
He's a Wisconsin fan because of his grandparents.
And traveled to Madison all the time, yeah.
He's a Bengals fan because...
Favorite animals was a tiger growing up, and I saw the helmets, and I was like, I love this when I was like 2 years old.
So, it's a reason.
The Pacers?
He's a Pacers fan because he's from Indiana, and he's from Indianapolis.
And because he's a Bengals fan, he's wearing a crop top and short orange shorts today.
That's right.
Because he liked tigers when he was two. Mm-hmm. What a butterfly effect. Drew, 2 years old, likes tigers, thinks tigers are cool, cool helmet, and now, as a result of liking tigers when he was two, he has to wear an extra small Hooters uniform on a video stream in Kansas City.
That's right.
Life really can take you some magical places, can it, you know? Who knew? Did you ever think two-year-old Drew would be burning you like this?
No, I would not.
Set
I would not
you up
think
for
that.
Failure. You could have been a Colts fan. You could have watched the Peyton Manning era. You could have had some moments.
Someone says they got engaged in French Lick, Indiana.
That's where Larry Bird's from, the hick from French Lick. It's a beautiful
they
place
got engaged
in Indiana.
There. Is it actually beautiful?
Yeah, I don't know if this person got engaged there, but the highest point in Indiana is at French Lick, and they've got the French Lick golf course that is founded by, they got a couple of them, but Pete Dye designed one. It's hosted the senior PGA, and from the sticks, Cody, it's 7,800 yards. I think it could host a major. I'll be honest; it'd be fun to see the
French
have to play.
Lick
I'm kind of depressed.
Yards.
Kansas City doesn't have a golf course capable of hosting a major. Just feel like we're too big of a city to not have a course that could, you know, like the U.S. Open could come through here.
Yeah,
kind of stinks.
All right,
y'all are crazy. Text
up
line.
Up next, the text line is wild right now. 913-586-7979. 6-5 video stream is up and running. A half hour left of Drew paying off his bet. We'll talk a little bit about the offensive line and where that stands right now for the Chiefs heading in the offseason. Plus the random question.
You know how everything's a subscription now? Music, movies, even socks. I swear if I...
To continue this ad, please upgrade to Premium Plus Platinum.
What? No. Anyway, Blue Apron...
This is a pay-per-listen ad. Please confirm your billing.
Oh, that's annoying. At least with the new Blue Apron, there's no subscription needed. Get delicious meals delivered without the weekly plan.
Wait, no subscription?
Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Question of the day. Back here on Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. We'll get to the Fan Club Friday here in about a half hour or so. Talk a little Chiefs football then. Look ahead to AFC, NFC wildcard weekend. Taylor Burr from Fox 4 Sports going to join us in studio. We haven't had her on the show before. That'll be fun to get to know her a little bit. SEC ties, I think, as well. So we'll discuss Miami, college football playoff, all that coming up in about a half hour or so. We'll get to the random question of the day here in 10 minutes right here on Cody and Gold. You guys can always hit us up on the Jay Southland Tow Service text line, 913-586-7965. Text line's on fire right now. Thanks to Drew.
I walked out there to tell the boss something, and Rob just turns and goes, "What is happening?" I lost a bet. I can see that.
Casual Friday wear.
You know,
this is not what you wear to work.
Drew's head to the gym after the show. Just wanted to get in his workout gear early.
Dude, that would be.
If you went to the gym wearing.
People would take photos of you.
Oh,
they would share it.
Yeah, absolutely. 100%.
It would get shared in a group chat.
Go follow me at Drew B. Nix on Twitter. Go ahead and pump up the following a little bit.
If we put that on TikTok or Instagram, it might go viral to a certain extent. Yeah.
Somebody be like, why is this guy just working out in the gym in this Hooters outfit?
And you just have to, yeah, just. Yeah.
I will say.
Trying to fit it in and make it look right.
I'm dead serious. Part of me, briefly,
thought
about bringing in some dumbbells to.
Oh, gosh.
Part of me thought about that.
That would make it worse.
When you flexed earlier, it made it way worse.
If you weren't in the compression shorts, how bad would it be?
Bad. It would be bad.
How bad?
They were a non-negotiable must. Didn't even think about it for longer than half a second.
I don't know if he would have been like, I don't know if we'd be allowed to have the video stream on.
I don't think the stream would
have to be shut down.
I
think YouTube would have, well, yeah, you're right.
Decency standards on some of these apps.
We might have got banned from Twitch.
Yeah.
So last chance to catch Drew. We've let him off the hook. We said at 1 o'clock he could be free so that Taylor Burr's first impression of this show is not Drew walking around in a Hooters outfit. Uh-huh. And because he was wearing it for like 2 hours, I think, before the show started. So let him off the hook at 1 o'clock and give him a chance to at least be free of the outfit. He's fulfilled his obligation in my mind. Mm-hmm. And then at 1 o'clock, you know, that way he can enjoy his drink in peace.
Yeah.
It's another cocktail from our friends over at Jay Rieger.
Mm-hmm. Let's go.
He'll be much more comfortable.
We're getting there.
I don't think so.
Yeah, please leave that. Don't pull down the tank top.
Leave
that on at least.
We can't just have you taking your shirt off on the stream all the time. People have to be clothed on this stream. Not that kind of site.
No, I don't think so.
How much money do you think we could make on like an OnlyFans for Drew today? Just this one day only.
I mean, there'd be somebody out there. I mean,
there'd be somebody
that'd be into that. I don't know who, but you're right. Somebody,
some crazy individual.
Somebody. We just told you, Trash Dave, somebody's snorting food through a straw up their nose.
You know what?
There's crazy people. There's somebody. You told me the story. Somebody's in love with their car.
You guys have got to watch that clip.
I believe somebody would look at Drew currently in a Hooters outfit, and that would. Yeah, I'm not going to continue.
What Thank else? You.
Yeah. Yep. Anyway. You want to talk some football?
Sure.
Let's talk about the offensive line, because I actually don't think we should be talking that much about the O-line this offseason.
I asked Briscoe about this, I think, for this reason, because I feel like I had gotten a sense, Gold, and you and I agree with this, is that the public, the national, and I think it's sometimes the fan sentiment of where the offensive line is seems to be very different than you and I and Briscoe. I am not worried about what they have to do on the offensive line in this offseason at all. As it sits, no, in the long term, right? They can still take offensive linemen in the draft. I'm not saying they can't take one in the third, take one in the fourth. I'm not saying they can't draft offensive linemen. But as it currently sits, if they had to start a football game right now and all their offensive linemen were healthy, I'm not so sure I'm all that worried about where they are. They've got a Pro Bowl caliber left tackle when he plays. And I'm going to assume for now, and I think it's probably safe to assume for now, that the stuff that kept him away from the field will not repeat itself based on conversations he's had. Kingsley, who was the biggest unknown going into the season other than Simmons, established himself as a perfectly fine left guard, good at center, good at right guard, and I've seen enough out of Jalen Moore or Esipole to know that they're not getting bad right tackle play. And so I guess I'm not worried about their offensive line. Of all the things on the team, it is, unlike last year, near the bottom of my concern list.
I'm not saying it's going to be the best offensive line in football next year, but I don't really think they have to commit resources. That's, as you were saying, that's kind of the difference. Resource-wise, look, they can still, if they want to draft one in the sixth round, Cody, to have some more depth to bring somebody in, by all means, that's fine. You want to draft somebody to be a backup guard during training, or be a guard that works out during training camp and maybe makes the practice squad or is the third string, fine. But they don't have to commit any sort of serious resource to that position. They're probably going to cut Juwan Taylor and eat the money there. And Jalen Moore, do I have a little bit of question about him still? Yeah, I think so, at right tackle. But that's who it's going to be. And so they don't have to use draft resources, significant ones, or free agent dollars on the O-line. That's why it's different.
On wide receiver, tight end.
I mean, look at what they've invested, man. Look at all the pick. They finally, looks like, found a left tackle, assuming, as you said, everything's good in terms of the resources they put on the O-line.
And they put plenty at center and right guard. Those are two of the highest paid people at their position. And Kingsley's taking a second round pick at left guard.
So it's about time that they're going to go through an offseason where they should not have to spend a lot of money or any money and draft capital.
There has to be a payoff for it. I mean, there has to be a payoff for it. And so I'm just saying, at this point, the offensive line, and they've put a lot of investment into it. We've talked about that. But as it sits right now, I actually think they're getting some return back on that investment. I'm not here to tell you that it's been perfect and they got the number one offensive line in football. But unlike, I mean, it was two off seasons in a row. I'm like, are you going to do anything to fix the protection for Patrick Mahomes? And now I'm like, are you going to do anything to fix the pass rush and to fix the pass catchers? That's where I am now. But before that, are you going to do anything to fix running back? Do you have enough at corner if you lose Jalen Watson to a big free agent contract? Probably, because Noah Williams and some other guys are available to step up. But like, they've spent money in a lot of different areas, offensive line being one. It's just weird because I felt like when I was talking to other people, just like friends, right? Or I heard the national media talk about it. It just seemed like they were all talking about like the offensive line being a question mark.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of the few non-question marks for me going into the year for the Chiefs. It's weird because it's one of the things I don't actually have any real, I'm not leery about, I guess, going into it. Just assuming, again, Simmons being the only big question, I guess, not the injury, because that's the kind that you get surgery from and heal from, but that, you know, can he be on the field? And he was hurt in college. And he was hurt this year, which means if he misses any chunk of time this year for any kind of injury, well, he might just be an injury-prone player,
mm-hmm.
and we've got a bit of a problem in the sense that, like, and Trent Williams, people still pay him a lot of money. He misses games every year. People still pay him a lot of money because he's great.
He's a future
Hall
of Famer.
When he's on the field.
Yeah, he's a future Hall of Famer in that circumstance. So, yeah, I think offensive line, you know, that's good to go. You know, you mentioned the question on Simmons. I think the only one would be also just Jalen Moore. But they're not – he's still the guy, though, and so is Simmons. So you're not changing – resource allocation based off of that. There are plenty of other wide receiver and running back and maybe tight end and defensive line on and on and on that they have to worry about.
What's the earliest you'd be willing to take an offensive lineman?
So
we're in the draft. We're
fifth
sticking
round,
around.
Okay. Fourth round.
That's what I was kind of curious about because...
Yeah, fourth or fifth
if
round.
If it was maybe their future, if they took a right tackle in the third, I could hear it out. Because Jalen Moore is only under contract for one additional season. Now, Esipole, I don't really know how his contract works because he was just on like a futures deal forever. So for all I know, they got like 3 years of control with the guy and maybe they have a right tackle option because he did, again, play pretty decent right tackle for this team. Enough to make you feel like you don't have to go out and replace him or Jalen Moore tomorrow, which is what we're talking about.
Or left tackle, right?
Or he played...
Pole, I thought, played left a little
bit. He played left, yeah.
Yeah.
But either way, tackle.
Because Godrick was playing right.
Yeah.
Wasn't he? At the last week.
Just tackle in general, sorry. But yeah, you're right. And so, because remember, they didn't end up wanting to move
Jalen Moore.
Yeah, they were going through all that and they were just leaving. It's funky because by the time the season ended, they're playing such a mishmash of nonsense offense.
I can hear you on the possibility. If there's a tackle they actually love in the middle round earlier than I think.
Third or fourth is about the earliest for me, but it's got to be the right guy, obviously.
You can find him.
Tackle, not guard.
You can find him, but the odds of also finding your long-term right tackle in the third round are not great.
Wanye and some others. Yeah. And Wanye, I guess, has been an okay depth guy, but I only say okay depth guy because he's there. But when he gets on the field, I don't feel as okay about it, you know? Like, he is physically worthy keeping on a roster, clearly, but when he gets on the field, I'm never all that confident he's going to do the job. So, but like every other position, it's like, all right, where am I most comfortable taking running back? Anytime after the second round, if they take a running back, I'm probably not going to find it too much.
Interesting. So you said after second. So you could talk me into one in the second round. I just don't really want one.
Second or later.
Gotcha.
If they pick one at 40, I probably wouldn't lose it. Wide receiver can be in the first round. Anything on the defensive line can be in the first round. Corner, only if they traded McDuffie, could be in the first round, and only with that second, probably, first-round pick they would get for trading him. Other than that, second round would be the earliest for corner. That's how I know I feel good about the offensive line. I would take a corner, a safety, a running back, a wide receiver, another defensive lineman. I'd take all of those in the second round before I would take an offensive lineman in the second round.
Yeah.
Every single one of them. And because those are bigger needs. Safety is an underrated need, by the way, because Cook's going to be gone.
Caleb Downs, they're losing.
They are down bad a little bit at safety.
And that's where Caleb Downs will be a name I'm guessing will be discussed far more as we get closer, and whether or not he's a realistic option. The combine will cause a lot of people to view some of the draft stock differently for some of these guys, good and bad. And the fan base, like, look, this year, more than ever, you're going to have the fan base split on the correct path. You know, when you're picking 28 or 32, like last year, I think we all recognized if Simmons was there, they were going to take him. That was the thought. Like,
kind of
if he was there, people didn't think he would be there, and he ended up being there, and they got him. And people agree they needed offensive line. This year, you can make a strong case. I disagree with it, but you can make the case that Jeremiah Love or a running back. You can make a case safety with Caleb Downs. Certainly can make a case for any defensive lineman. Can make a case for Carnell Tate or a wide receiver. So there is not a just one path, you know, one door to walk through kind of thing.
No, it's a choose your own adventure. Yeah. Little news out of the NCAA, Pete Thamel reporting that Trinidad Chambliss, who obviously lost in the semifinals yesterday, was denied his sixth year of eligibility. So that game last night was the end of his college career.
There's no appeal process.
They do say Ole Miss can appeal the decision, so maybe they will. But as of right now, Trinidad Chambliss' waiver to try to get a sixth year of eligibility in college football has currently been denied by the NCAA. Ole Miss filed the waiver because Chambliss didn't play his second season at Ferris State, dealing with persistent respiratory issues, they said, indicated that he's preparing legal action in Mississippi for an injunction and damages. So they are going to fight this. And look, here's the thing. I don't blame him for wanting to do it, Gold, because he's not likely to be an NFL prospect. So for him, this is his chance to make a couple of million bucks, $3-4 million to be a college level SEC quality starter in college. So like, I don't blame him for fighting this, but like, it's weird with the NCAA because they get to choose whether to grant these injury waivers or not. And when you're waiting until the very end to be like, oh, now I'd like a sixth year, sometimes it just falls on deaf ears. I get it. Carson Beck has been in college for, I don't know, how did he get all of his extra years, Drew? You've been following him forever. How did Carson Beck get like 15 years in college football?
I think.
Did he just redshirt or something a couple of times?
I mean, this technically is his, I think it's his sixth year. I don't know exactly the details behind it, but I know that the main reason why Ole Miss did the waiver is because he had respiratory issues in his second year at Ferris State. So I don't know if they didn't, because underneath, I think Pete Thamel also said that they didn't, of the ones in football, I don't know if any of them provided the medical waivers, like the forms. I don't know if that's part of it, but Ole Miss can appeal it. I would appeal it if I was Ole Miss. If you're Trinidad Chambliss, he's going to go in. If Trinidad Chambliss entered the draft, he is, I don't know if you take him above Ty Simpson, but in terms from a prospect perspective,
he's not a first round pick.
But I would say he gets selected in the second or third round. I think Trinidad Chambliss would go
fourth or fifth. Am I wrong?
I don't think he's going that late.
Like I
think he's played his way into making people believe in the second or third round.
I like the kid, but I don't know if he's a first or second round pick.
I don't think he's a first round pick. I wouldn't say that.
I mean, Carson Beck was 2 years ago, people were thinking he was going to be a number one overall pick. And now, with how he's playing, even with that, and he's improved his stock, he's probably a day two or three pick. And Chambliss, different type of quarterback, I get it. To me, he's day two or three for sure, if in fact he goes
around. I would say Carson Beck's like fourth or fifth round.
Yeah.
And I think Trinidad Chambliss is a better quarterback.
What a brutal 12, 16 hours or so, though, for this kid. I'm like, geez, you lose to the biggest game of your life, and then you find out you're denied your ability to be the, you know, be a quarterback next year.
Well, and it's massive news for Ole Miss because you look at, like, Sam Leavitt is still technically traveling around. If you're Ole Miss, I mean, that opens up the possibilities for Ole Miss, and they have to figure out who they want to get at quarterback for next year, because I think that's part of the dichotomy.
Sometimes happens a sixth or seventh rounder undrafted.
I think he'll end up still playing college next year. Here's a statement that just came out from Trinidad Chambliss's attorney. Quote, I assume that Ole Miss will file an appeal with the NCAA. That said, there's now an opportunity to move this case to a level playing field, basically just get rid of the NCAA, where Trinidad's rights will be determined by the Mississippi judiciary instead of some bureaucrats in Indianapolis who couldn't care less about the law or doing the right thing. So that gives him a better chance. It just does. Like, the NCAA is a joke. So he has a better chance of winning the argument in this world, as in the court system.
Yeah. I'm always just so torn on this because it's like, how many years should you be allowed to play college football? Like, I get hurt five times. I'm allowed to play when I'm like 32. It's like, there is a limit. College is supposed to be 4 years. I don't know how many additional years.
Yeah, 7 years.
I think you can get to five. I would say five would be a limit to me. After that, I would say you're done.
Yeah.
I'll give you one freebie year, Drew. Like, I agree. You suffer a major injury, you want to play college football for four. It's so, like, I guess in that case, it is six. Because if you redshirt, I'll give you one injury year. Did he redshirt, I guess?
4 years plus a redshirt is what you should get. Now, in this case, I'd let this just play out and then, you know, moving forward, but, you know, whatever.
Isn't Carson Beck in his sixth year?
Seventh, right?
You know, he started in 2020. That's 20, seven. 1, 2, 3, 4. Five.
I think they said on the broadcast six. Last night, seven.
I think they might have been incorrect because next year would be seven. As of now, I think this is his sixth season that he's in because he started in 2020. So 2020, 21, 22, 23, 24, and then 25 this year is six.
So silly. Red shirt.
Anyways.
Yeah. I also just like, what a weird, you know, like in no other professional sport, and I guess this is what makes college unique, but in no other professional sport are you hurt and you're like, I'd like a redo, please. Like, Gold, you didn't get to play an extra year in high school if you got hurt. And just, like, go, like, it's the only level.
That's the whole thing with Pavia, because he was in junior college, and that also is where things get mixed up a lot, is the JC stuff.
Yeah, because based on the way the NCAA operates and doesn't operate anymore, is really you can't hold those years against him anymore.
Exactly.
It's the same reason that kid went to go play for Baylor after he's been in the G League or whatever. They got a big mess on their hands just as far as and they're fighting a battle on a lot of fronts. They probably would have just helped themselves by rubber stamping an approval on him, being like, you know what? Why fight it with the kid who was just in the semifinals? We can fight it with someone lower who can't actually get the public to.
I do think it is screwed up that they're allowing that they're allowing Baylor to play this kid after he got drafted. Well, but Trinidad Chambliss had respiratory problems and he couldn't play, and they won't let him play.
That's why the NCAA is a joke, and why we read that statement from the attorney for Trinidad, which is like, let's get this to a court system and take the NCAA out of it for a second until we have a good standing. Because you're right. You have a kid that's drafted by the NBA and he can come back and play college basketball. That's, yeah, you can't grant a Trinidad in this case. It makes no sense. And this goes back into the whole conversation we've had for years about the NCAA, and there needs to be a commissioner of college sports and college football and all this kind of stuff. The NCAA, the only thing they do well is some of the lower
tournament.
The NCAA tournament. They're an event company, event management company, and the lower levels of collegiate athletics, right? Because we always think NCAA they actually do some really good things for D2 and D3 and their championships.
Yeah, they're very good at running those tournaments
and all that. But at the FCS or the FBS, I'm sorry, the FBS level, it's a disaster. And the college football playoff is not run by the NCAA.
And they just love picking fights because they keep losing in court over all this NIL stuff.
Isn't it also, Rich, that Charlie Baker, the NCAA president, said, I think it was a week ago, that we're not going to approve any of them to play or to do this. And then Najee played for Baylor last week. Like, you need to just stop talking if you're not going to actually follow through with what you're going to believe. If you're going to say that they're denied and they can't play, then they better not be playing.
They would love to. The thing is right now is the NCAA loved swinging the hammer on kids like this. They loved, like, swinging the axe and the guillotine, right? This was, they enjoyed it. And Chambliss is not something they didn't used to do. They did this all the time. Now, though, they have no legal recourse. So they can stand up at a pulpit and say, we're not letting this kid from Baylor play. That kid from Baylor's got a lawyer because he just got a few million bucks and Baylor wants his ass on the court. They can't stop him anymore. The rules, because they got sued for all of this infringement of rights, doesn't allow them to stop these kids the way it used to. They got no power, or they got way less power.
Drew got by the way, Drew got too itchy here. He put a sweatshirt over the clothes.
Are you still in the shorts?
He's still
wearing. That's a ridiculous look.
I'm not still in the shorts.
No, he went ahead and said it. We were close enough. But, you're close enough.
It was an experience. I can't say I'll do it again.
If you missed it,
why would you do it again?
Go check out the old video feed. We'd bet a different thing.
What are you gonna do? What are you gonna do with the Hooters outfit? Like, are you
Cody Gold garage sale?
It's a Cody Gold garage
sale. Someone's
gonna buy that.
Someone will buy it. I'm not saying for a lot.
I don't know who or why, but hey, could go for it.
People use socks and stuff. Don't wash it, Drew. You gotta leave it smelling like you, man.
Oh, gross.
I'm not sweating in it, so I think we're okay there at least.
You sure?
Yes.
Those shorts are pretty tight.
Someone said it looked cold earlier, not that he was sweating.
It was chilly earlier. I'm telling you, you could feel the breeze from the AC in
that's
here.
That's different.
A little bit more than normal.
That's not good, Drew. That's not good. All right, let's get to the random question.
Random question.
Random question today, brought to you by Kansas City Urology Care at KCUC. Remember, you see the best in KC. Visit kcurology.com today. For you, Gold. For you, Drew. Text line 913-586-7965. Of course, you can always follow us on YouTube, Twitter, Twitch, and Facebook, where we live stream the show. That's what we were talking about, obviously, earlier as well. Simple question today, which is, are you doing your part? You know what I learned this week? Mm-hmm. I learned a piece of news today, or sorry, not today, but this week, that pizza sales across the U.S. are plummeting. Pizzerias have lost grounds to coffee shops, Mexican restaurants, sandwich places. They're losing their foothold in the both fast casual and eating market and have lost quite a bit of their footprint as far as a casual, everybody orders pizza, like significantly to the point that pizza places are genuinely concerned. So I guess the question I have for you, even though they've lagged behind now, let's see, what's the exact percentage it said? 2024 ranked pizza as the sixth amongst U.S. restaurant chains, but in 2025, they were in the double digits, so shrinking in the market. My question is, are you guys eating pizza less?
Yes.
Damn, what happened?
When's the last time you got pizza delivered or carry out?
I don't know. I mean,
last week?
A couple times, I was like,
it's been a while.
I think we had some friends over, and they weren't going to be there to mealtime, and then they were there to mealtime, and then we're all like, oh, you know what, let's eat some, and we were trying to think of something we could eat quickly, and we ordered a pizza. Not common, I would say, but certainly not it has off been of a, the table.
The last time I ate pizza was probably just like in a restaurant, like a bar that happened to have pizza. I couldn't tell you the last time I
but
pick your national
you
or local
I get, like,
chain.
The frozen
You'd
pizzas? Have to order a whole
It's been a
pizza.
While, but I used to like the Tombstone frozen ones, okay. You know?
What's weird is that
that's our go-to is like the Red Baron pizzas. Sure. Those are bomb every time. So
versus some of the other, like, you know, for like, you know, like, let's just say for like some of the other fast food places, sometimes I'm looking at a meal. The price has gotten out of control. I'm looking at a bowl of Chipotle. Some of the price has gotten out of control. I can still get a $9.99 large, man. I can still get a hot and ready from Little Caesars for, you know, $7.
Yeah.
I feel like there's still some value in the pizza game. So my question is, why are people eating pizza less? Sounds like you're eating pizza less, Drew. Sounds like you're eating it the same.
I do think there are some places, though, where, like everything else, the cost of pizza is up. So if you're trying to
good
get a big
pizza
enough pizza,
is super expensive.
You know,
like really high quality pizza does feel like I'm paying like $25.
I don't know if I'm eating it more necessarily or like the same, but I guess the same for me is we have a frozen pizza and we might get to it within buying it within the week, and then maybe we have pizza out.
It's weird because
once or twice a month, maybe.
It's probably a better question for like people in like a family unit, because in the 1990s when we all were
the Pizza Hut buffets, man, the red cups.
It was number two amongst all U.S. restaurant chains. People ate pizza. They went, you know, like people ordered pizza, they went out to eat it. Now, I will say, I don't got to eat to get pizza ever. That, but also I feel like they killed that, right? I can't go out there and drink out of the red cup.
You can go to an old shoddy pizza or Menske's or something, or?
Yeah, I guess the fast like casual.
Gotcha,
yes, of course.
Gotcha.
You mean the Pizza Hut vibe, yeah.
But it's like weird because like if I'm getting Menske's or old shiny pizza, of both of which I've eaten here in this last year, I get them to go. I'm taking that stuff home a lot.
I think that
something
might be
about
part
like maybe
of it,
I just
actually
sit at restaurants less.
Yes,
I just don't sit down at restaurants the way I felt like as a kid after the baseball game. Right, you go sit at the Pizza Hut with the red plastic cup, and we'd all
play the Pac-Man arcade game and eat some Pizza Hut.
As you know, other than if I'm grilling something, I don't really cook, and it's just me. So I go out. I mean, out of the three of us, I definitely go out to eat more than anybody because it's usually just me or I'm meeting somebody to go have dinner or whatever.
And you never consider just like a Minsky's place, huh?
It's been a bit, but there's sports bars that have pizza, right? I mean, obviously.
Sure.
So that would be the last time someone said back in your KU days, what was the pizza place you went to?
Shuttle, right?
Pizza Shuttle or Papa Kino's. Those are probably the two I would say. Yeah.
So somebody mentioned CC's Pizza. We had one in Indy too. CC's Pizza was a nice buffet. It was goated.
We were kids. I don't know if it felt better when I was a kid, but that's probably because I was a kid. Pizza Street, so the one like not far from where I live now. Where at the time it was $2.99 all you could eat pizza, and when you're a teenager, you could do some real damage with a $2.99 buffet.
I haven't been there. I mean,
who knows?
I mean. 20 years, maybe. I don't know.
Somebody's
something like
blaming
that.
Costco. I will say, you can get a slice of Costco pizza. We go shopping, $1.50. Same price as the hot dog.
$2.
Is it really only that? I'm sure Sam's Club is the same. I haven't gotten Sam's Club slice in a while.
Yeah, it's a gigantic slice of pizza, too, Drew.
Yeah.
It's two full slices of pizza, and it's like a couple of bucks. So like
someone also said, and this is probably fair. I'm not saying this is everybody, but in general, people are more health conscious with their diet than they were 25 years ago. You agree with that? I'm not saying that everybody's out here, but I think people are more aware of, you know, what food you're eating, what food you're putting in your body, kind of stuff, than they were 20 years ago.
You mentioned Chipotle briefly. Are you guys going to try the protein menu?
I'm back on going a lot. I don't know why.
The
taste is back for me.
Hey, let's go.
I've been going multiple times a week.
Are you going to get like the 81?
What's
the protein?
I don't need to get
81 grams. What's Alex turning into a weightlifter?
I don't need the extra. I mean, I'll just get my standard, you know, rice and pinto beans, a little steak, cheese, a pico, and roll with that and corn. I saw they have the new protein bowls. Is it just because it has double the meat? What are they doing?
So I think my wife and I were like really exercising a lot. This goes back a couple of years ago. We would go to Chipotle as like a not necessarily cheat meal, but in a way it's a healthier option eating out, quote unquote, than obviously going to McDonald's or something like that. Maybe they're siding with those things. I will say we have talked about going to Chipotle to just get that little protein cup. It's like $3.
I don't even know what that is.
It's just full of chicken.
It's 32 just grams of chicken in a bowl. And what we're going to do is we're going to make nachos with it.
I get talked into that.
Yeah.
You make nachos. You're trying to save the trouble or a salad. You're like, I'll just make the big salad at home. I'm not going to pay for the whole thing. But yeah, give me the...
Since Gold works out, he needs protein bowls. Nope. Just some cardio stuff and occasional lifting.
Wearing this Hooters outfit got me back.
Drew's going to want to really.
He started working out as soon as he realized the Bengals season was going sideways.
That's what it was.
That's when he started running.
Drew definitely.
That's what
did.
You think. All right.
Mm-hmm. He had to get on those goals.
Uh-huh.
I just didn't know if everybody's eating pizza.
The gym is super packed right now.
First
of the year. It always is.
First of the year. Time. Way busy.
Everybody gets in there. You know?
Way busy.
But they set for their New Year's resolution.
Yep. I need to be better. I need to get better about my routine. I was slacking a little bit last month or so.
I mean, it's the holidays. Everyone slacks during that time.
I know, but it's so easy.
Drink more, eat more, work out less.
Yeah, exactly.
Pretty much all of December.
I know it. That is the random question of the day. Thank you, Cody. Up next, we will get to the Fan Club Friday. We'll talk a little Chiefs football. We'll talk college football, AFC, NFC wildcard weekend. And we will have a first-time guest of Fan Club. We'll have Taylor Burr from Fox 4 join us here on Cody and Gold.